I will share some things about the speaking part of faith today. Faith has not been done away with. Faith is not just a popular message of the 80s and 90s. We're saved by faith. We obtain promises by faith. We please God by faith. In fact, we live by faith. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 36, we'll read the last few verses of Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 36 says, "For you have need of endurance," or patience, "so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For," quoting from the Old Testament, "yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay." Thank God Jesus is coming again. And he is not going to delay. We're looking forward to that day. "But my righteous one shall live by faith." In other words, faith is not some kind of a tool in a toolbox that you pull it out on the day that you particularly need faith. It's something that we live by. In other words, it's something that we continually live in every day. Then he says, "And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. You know, when Caleb was 80 years old, he had been working on taking the promised land for 40 years. But when he was 80 years old, it wasn't time to settle down. He told Joshua, "Give me this mountain." See, people of faith are not people who shrink back, but people of true faith, there is an attitude of faith, there is a spirit of faith, which causes you to continually grow, to continually advance, to continually do new things for God. People of faith, they do not shrink back. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is not just, "I think it's going to rain." It is a conviction. You know what happens when, if you give an opposing argument to somebody who's truly convinced, what will they do? They will defend what they already believe. In other words, if you come and you get an opposing report to what you believe, you will not surrender just because you get a circumstance that is opposed to what you currently believe. If a circumstance will cause you to surrender what you currently believe, then that faith was not very strong to begin with. It is an assurance and a conviction of the things that we do not see. Now in Mark chapter 11, Jesus is towards the end of his ministry. He is in Jerusalem, and he has an experience with a fig tree. Now people have asked the question, why did Jesus curse that fig tree? Well, some things that I know about it, it couldn't have been because the disciples needed a faith object lesson. Because John said there is not room enough to write all the object lessons that we already have. So that couldn't have been the reason. You know, Jesus walked on the water. Do you know what all the people did when Jesus walked on the water? They walked around the lake. That tells me it wasn't necessary for Jesus to walk on water. There was a plan B that would have been perfectly fine. He could have walked around the lake just like everybody else, because you see him crossing that lake, and when he gets to the other side, there's already people on the other side that ran around. So it wasn't that you had to figure a way to cross that lake. No, there were other paths around. There were plan Bs available. But you see, people of faith, they don't look for plan B. They're going further with God, and they're looking for miracles. You see, if we endeavor to maintain the land that God has given us, people who are in maintenance mode, honestly, are people who shrink. Let me say that again. Amen. People who are in maintenance mode are people who shrink. The only way to grow is to go ahead and do something that is uncomfortable. You will never grow unless we're willing to step outside the comfort zone. Caleb is 80 years old. They have now entered a promised land. They are now at the place of comfort already. In fact, in the next chapter, Joshua kind of scolds the people and said, what are you waiting for taking the rest of the land? And Caleb is 80. He was the leader. He was one of the old Joshua and Caleb. You know, they were the two oldest people in the whole nation at that point. Caleb could have sat down and said, well, I've done my part. It's time for somebody else to do something. No, but that spirit of faith does not settle down. It is not satisfied with shrinking back and just enjoying the things that we already have. So Caleb says, give me this mountain. Cursing the fig tree was not necessary. It wasn't an act that produced more food for other people. Ever thought about that? You see, God expects us to use our faith on things that aren't just strictly necessary. You know, poor people, they make sure that the things that are exactly strictly necessary is taken care of. If that's the only thing we do, that's poverty mentality. No, we have to stretch and go further because faith demands, God demands, having a relationship with God without having an effect on this world is not possible. We will always go and do more than what we did yesterday. And so Jesus, in talking about this fig tree, the disciples makes comments, and of course he says in verse 22, Jesus answers them and says, have faith in God. And he says, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. See, faith is a conviction. It is an assurance in the heart. You don't find faith in the head. You can't walk by the head. When you walk by faith, you walk by what you're convinced of. That conviction needs to be based on the word of God. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever. Everybody say whatsoever. Whatsoever. He will have whatsoever he says. Caleb said, give me this mountain. He had whatsoever he said. Now, Caleb had a lesson in whatsoever you say. If we go back to Joshua chapter 14. Thank God we can go further. Whatever point we have gotten to, that's not the end. Always possible to go further. So in Joshua 14 verse 7, Caleb and Joshua, they have a discussion about some of the things that happened earlier in their life. And they talk about the story of the 12 spies that were sent out. And Caleb says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, this is Joshua 14, verse 7. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And Caleb says, I brought him word again as it was in my heart. See, faith will speak what's in our heart. Faith is of the heart, but faith will be shown in that our words and our actions will originate from the word of God that has been placed in our heart. Whatsoever he says, everybody say whatsoever. Whatsoever. Jesus said, whosoever shall have whatsoever. In Mark 11, 23. Well, let's go back to Numbers chapter 13 and 14, where we see the story of these spies. And let's see what happened. Because they went out, going into the promised land, they had crossed the Red Sea, they had seen the miracles of the pillar of fire and the cloud of smoke and all this during the day and during the night. They'd seen all of that. But now the 12 spies, one from every tribe, is going into the promised land as spies. And when they come back in Numbers chapter 13, and verse 30, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now remember, Caleb says, I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Then the men who had gone up with them said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. See, Caleb has the promise of God on his mind. The 10 other spies, they had the circumstances on the mind. And they brought word again according to what circumstances dictated. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report. The King James says an evil report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land though which they have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people we saw in it are of great height. All the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. Chapter 14, verse 2, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Look in verse 28. Moses prays for the people, intercedes. But then God shows up, and he says in verse 28, telling Moses, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Joshua and Caleb, they had what they said. The rest of the nation of Israel, they also had what they said. When you look at somebody's life situation, and you look at how they have been thinking and what they have been speaking the last 5 years is a description of the situation that they are in today. Occasionally people change, but people change very seldomly. So what people are currently thinking and what people are currently saying is generally speaking the same thing they have been saying the past 5 years. I don't have to be a prophet, but I can tell people what next year will look like. Next year will not look like what the prophet is saying, unless your words agree with what the prophet has said. Next year is going to look exactly like this year, if you think and speak the same thoughts and the same words that you have been speaking the past 5 years. We had 4, 5, 6 campuses in Kenya. We had 70 students. And that happens year after year. So I'm starting to get a little frustrated and wondering, how come we only have 70? Wonderful. A lot of senior pastors, a lot of results. And I could settle down at the level where the school had come to, and I could say, at least we're doing something. Well, praise God for that. But I know in my heart we're supposed to do more. And so I'm getting a little frustrated and wondering how come something else is not happening here. And I start looking at another Bible college, you know, comparisonitis, the sickness of comparison sets in. So I start looking at other Bible colleges and I go, how come they're growing so much? And you kind of get a little disappointed and so forth. And then I look at another school over here that's growing more than what our colleges are in Kenya. And I go, and I think, I wish I was the director of the school over there. Can we just like swap places? But then it appeared to me, if you take the owner of a $1 million business and place that owner over $100,000 business, the $100,000 business is going to grow. If you take the owner of $100,000 business and you place them over a $1 million business, they are going to shrink the $1 million business. In other words, your circumstances will grow or shrink in accordance with our level of thinking and speaking. And so I realized if I am placed over that campus over there, I don't have what it takes to run the growing campus over there. And I realized if that director who is running a growing campus over there, if he comes to Kenya, he will have the ideas and the knowledge and the thinking patterns and the speaking patterns that will cause Kenya to grow. I realized the problem in Kenya is me. So I had to look myself in the mirror in the morning and look at the problem. But this was also liberating because if I'm the problem, that also means if I grow in my thinking capacity and my speaking capacity, that also means I have the power to do something about all these circumstances I'm in. Anybody a landlord? Have you had tenants? Any landlords here with tenants? What do tenants do with the property? They bring that property and the circumstances of that place to bring it in line with their thinking capacity. Now, this is liberating because it means that the circumstances I'm in is not, you know, when I went to college, people, you know, how do you do and what's up in Oklahoma? They started asking, how is life treating you? And I started coming up with the answer that life does not treat me. I treat life. In other words, the I have more power over circumstances than the circumstances have power over me. I had to change my thinking. So I spent some time thinking more like Caleb. And I said, my primary goal this year is my own personal development. Within 2 years, Nairobi campus is open. Now, when you open a campus in Nairobi, it's like having seven campuses in West Virginia. Now you're moving into the Manhattan. Just culturally, the level of difference. It's a whole new world that the person in West Virginia does not understand how life happens in Manhattan. Isn't that so? The person in Manhattan has forgotten about what life in West Virginia is like. It's different. Well, that's the way it is in Kenya. Now we have offices in Westlands. It's the primary office space in all of East Africa. We're right next to Oracle, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and all these other international businesses. This is where they want to be. But that could not have happened if I continued thinking the same way I was thinking when we had those other rural campuses around the country. I had to change my thinking. And I had to realize God in me is bigger than the results we're seeing right now. See, faith does not look to the leader to use their faith on my behalf. That's passiveness. Thank God for wonderful leaders. Thank God for the examples. Thank God for the teachings and so forth. But their faith will not get me where I need to be. So I have to make it my own personal responsibility to be a master of my own circumstances, my own company, whatever God has called me to do. That will depend on my relationship with God and how I think and how I speak regarding those things. Are we together this morning? Are we together on the back row back there? I know it's a little far, but I hope you can hear me. So we're going into Nairobi. Everything is multiplied times more expensive. And I look at the finances, and the finances says, you can't do this. I look at my resume, and my resume says, you can't do this because you have never done something of significance in a major city in the world. But in my heart, I brought word as it was in my heart. We are going to Nairobi. And then as we look at different, you know, when you start something, so you don't really know how many students will you have. Are you going to have 20 students? Is it going to be 100 students? Is it going to be 500 students? And the facilities you need will depend on the number of students. So if you end up with 20 students and you rent a facility with 500 students, you're in trouble. And vice versa. And all the students are wondering, where is the facility going to be? Because they want to know where the facility is before they want to register. And I need to know how many will register before I can go rent a facility. We got a problem. So I got to battle these mind battles. You see, the battle of faith is not always just battling the circumstances. The Lord will take care of those things. But the battle is for me to maintain my trust in Him in the face of obstacles and circumstances. So I'm looking at those circumstances, but responding from my heart. And so we look at, you know, a different hotel. Ah, perfect hotel. If you have 20 people, they have a ballroom for that. If you have 500, they have a ballroom for that. Wonderful. But in my heart, I know that's plan B. You're supposed to have your own place. We look around, and in my heart, long story short, I know we're in this building. I tell our administrator, secretary, I tell her, that's the building. Tell all the students we're in that building. We have no contract, nothing. Sometimes walking by faith is foolishness in the natural, but when you know what's in your heart, you have to go by what's in the heart. 10 days. You know, there's multiple stories, different owners, depending on what store you're in, and subletting, and you understand how it is. If you go into town, that's how buildings are. Finally find a space, and know in my heart, that's the place. I don't have the money, so we're negotiating, and we're going from a 6 months up front to 4 months up front, and finally get to a good deal. My business friends in Nairobi says, how do you get that deal? The favor of God. I still didn't have the money. I told him, send me the contract. This is now the week and 8 days before school is opening. Friday. I said, send me the contract. He sends the contract, and the sum value of that contract is multiple years' expenses for any of the other campuses, just the rent alone. You know, it's a much higher level. And that week in my mind is trying to battle me. Well, what do? You spend some extra time with the Lord to make sure you remain in faith so that you respond from your heart and don't allow those thoughts of doubt to enter your heart, because then you're in trouble. Thoughts of doubt may remain in the head, and faith will still work out of the heart. 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm in the living room floor, and I've meditated so long on the Word of God that I'm shouting in the living room at 1 o'clock in the morning, because I know God will never fail what He said in His Word. See, so many people, they don't have the determination to meditate on that Word until they're utterly convinced and there's a joy coming out. That's how some people are defeated. So at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm rejoicing. When I'm rejoicing, I know I can go to bed. It's all right. He's taking care of it. Sunday. The mind is battling. What do? Do you sign the contract? Do you not sign the contract? And I hear on the inside, what would you have done if you had the money? I said, that's easy. You sign it and you send the contract. Now that's foolishness. You pulled the whole reputation of Rhema on the line. It's got a great reputation in the country. Now we're in the capital. Everybody will know about it. It'll be a failure for the next 20 years. Nobody can do anything here with this name for the next 20 years. Those are the thoughts coming to my mind. But I respond from my heart. On Thursday, we pay the money, we get the keys, and school starts as announced on Saturday. Glory! Faith works. Because Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Now, it doesn't help that you heard a sermon about it 10 years ago, and it doesn't help that you were excited about it 10 years ago. That doesn't matter anymore. The question is, do you know it so well today that you're still excited about the same word today? Because the word will work when you're excited about the word. Glory. People of faith, they live by faith. They do not draw back. They do not try to maintain what they have, but they go further with God. Abraham is 99 years old, and God changes his name from Abram to Abraham, from blessed father to father of multitude. And you know, in those days, it wasn't a name that nobody knew what meant. It was a name that had a meaning. So in the morning, on Monday morning, after God spoke to him, he had approximately 1,000 employees. He has to announce to them and tell them, look, my name is no longer Blessed Father, but I'm now a father of a multitude. Amen. Imagine the ridicule from the employees on Monday morning. Dude, you don't even have anybody. Imagine all the chatter with the employees. But he stood firm and he said, my name is Father of Multitude. Within 3 months, Sarah is pregnant and Isaac is born a year later. Thinking and speaking. But it has to come from a heart that is excited about the promises of God. Glory to God. So now that we have the thing in Nairobi and things are going well, we've grown to 250 students, more significant churches are involved and so forth. Things are going well. We can remain on that plateau and say, hey, 8 campuses in Kenya, 250 students, 160 churches that have been trained, where the senior pastors have been, that's good, that's a place. And I can relax at that level, but no, I am not satisfied with how far we have come. We're going further. So now we're going into Congo and people tell us you cannot do a consistent, you can go in and do a 2-day seminar, you can do a 1-week crusade or something. And they tell us you can't do something consistently because everything is in such turmoil that you can't get consistent results. Said who? Said who? Circumstances. I don't pay attention to circumstances. I pay attention to what's in my heart. And the Lord has said it is time to go in. We're going in. The first time, they don't like American passports always. So the first time we're going in, we need to get paperwork from 4 or 5 different cities inside the country where there are no roads. How do you get that paper out? That's a chore. 2 months later, we have the necessary paperwork. I don't have my passport back from the embassy yet. The same day I go on the plane, the passport is flown overnight I was in Tulsa, so it's flown overnight to Tulsa, and it's delayed that day. We've got a problem. We got to call up FedEx and find the driver, meet the driver in town somewhere and pick up the passport. I got the passport. Going to the airport in 1 hour. Open that passport. There's no visa. They didn't put it in there. They just sent the passport back. But in my heart, I am going to Congo. I said it. And I left for Kenya. From Nairobi, it's a 2-day trip to get into Congo. 2 days just to get there. And we're sitting there in the office on the border, and this big boss, this French in Lingala, we don't know any of it, and I have an interpreter, and I'm going back. 4 hours in that office. By the time we get there, somebody else had helped to get an emergency paperwork that was ready in that office. And they say, we don't pay attention to that emergency paperwork. 2 Kenyans, they hold up the can't communicate. He holds up the passports of the Kenyans, says, this is okay. You can tell by the bodily expression. Holds up the passports of 2 Americans, he says, uh-uh. But I brought something. I brought peace with me in that office. Those offices are often full of turmoil. See, I don't bring turmoil. I've got the presence of God on the inside. I've never been someplace where the presence of God isn't, because he always comes with me. He is in me. He is for me. He is with me. Regular thinking. It comes out in natural speaking because I keep thinking that way. You can pressure me on that one. I know Jesus is in me. I don't get afraid. So I'm sitting there with a smile on my face, and they're trying to make a difficult situation for us. And I sit there on a smile on my face. Finally, he goes, okay, we'll let you in. But the passport is staying here. Oh, that's crazy when you're traveling internationally. What do? You respond from your heart. And in my heart, I know we are going in. We were in Congo 4 days without passports. Now, don't you copy what I did. Because the Egyptians tried to copy what the Israelites did, and they were drowned. See, yes, faith will produce words and actions, but word and action alone is not proof that there is faith in the heart. You must have a conviction in your heart that the words and the actions are based upon. But when you base words and actions on a conviction that has been based on the Word of God, then I don't care what circumstances, I don't care what government, I don't care what reasons, we are doing it. We are taking this mountain. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where do we go from here? You will go where your tongue is directing you to go. It is the rudder of our life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and we all experience the benefits of our tongue. Train that tongue, and you will produce your future. Train that tongue, and you will produce the future. Let's not be satisfied with history. Let's not be satisfied with where we are today. But let's press in and go further with God and do what He has called us to do. Let's stand up together. Paul, shipwrecked on the way to Malta, on the way to Rome, he said, "But I have faith in God. It shall be exactly as I have been told." Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's say it together. Christ is in me.
Christ is in me.
Christ is for me.
Christ is for me.
I am a believer.
He came to give me life.
He came to give me life.
Every good thing comes from Him.
Every good thing comes from Him.
I am blessed.
I am blessed. Now, regarding what you are believing God for, you speak out what's going to happen. I can't do that for you. Whatever you're believing God for, you speak that out, because it shall be exactly like I have been told. We're putting Bible colleges in Congo. We're going to affect all the eastern side of Congo. I know that's what we're doing, because that's what's in my heart. Given from the Lord, we're going to go do it. I'm speaking for it, what I'm doing, but I can't do that part from you. But if the faith isn't strong enough to move our mouth, it'll never be strong enough to move our mountain. You got to say it. Got to say it. Father, we thank you for these dear lives. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us, speaking through us. Father, we purpose, we dedicate, we commit. I'm going to do my part about making an influence, about changing the future, impacting the lives of those that you have given into our care. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. Father, I will do what you want me to do. And I thank you, Father, that your word is in me. Your spirit is in me. Your spirit is upon me. And so I'm not going in my own might and my own strength, but it is you going in and through me to affect the lives that you have purposed that we shall go and affect. Amen. But Father, I will be obedient, and I will do. Being an influence to my neighbor, here and everywhere I go. Bringing your presence, bringing your life, bringing your healing, bringing the message of love, life, light to a lost and a dying world. I am that ambassador, and I will take that responsibility and be that messenger that you have called me to be. Oh, le kidi prostolodo kotostiki. Some have wondered, what do I do with my life? I'm not satisfied. No one will ever be fully satisfied until they commit to do what God has called us to do. The life that I'm living might look hard when you look in circumstances, but I've got a joy and a peace in my heart I would never want to do anything else apart from what I'm doing today. I'm content in my heart because I know that I'm doing something for eternity. Thank God for houses and cars and sofas and all that stuff, but it's stuff. At the end of the day, the only thing that matters is the lives that we have affected. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can't make decisions for people, but I can invite to make that decision and go further. Go further. Go further. But how? But how? It is not for you to know all the details of the how. It's for you to start with the commitment, and I will show you the hows, the whats, the whens, and all those answers. But you start by fully committing to me. And you start by doing the small things that you already know to do. And as you do those things, I will give you the light that is necessary on the next steps. But you've got to trust me with the step I've already given before you will have the light for 5 years down the road. Father, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.